Well, good morning, Peace Church family and friends. My name is Pastor Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Peace Church, and good morning to you in the venue as well. Why don't you all take a moment to say hi to the stranger sitting next to you? I just said hi. Don't need to get their life story right now. I did open it. Speaking of opening, let's open up our Bibles to Jonah. We're starting a new sermon series today, and I'm really excited about this one. I'm really excited that you're here for us as we start this new book of the Bible, the book of Jonah. If you're using the Bibles in the racks around you, that's on page 982 and 983 is where we'll be at today. We're going to look at almost the entire first chapter. We're going to look at the entire first chapter minus one verse, and you'll find out why next week. You know, the story of Jonah, he's famous for, of course, being inside the belly of a whale. Or for you technical people, a great fish. But Jonah is secondly known for running from God. For getting a call from God and deciding, no, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And that choice led him down a path that would develop into a story that we would remember for generations and generations and thousands of years, and he would become one of the most memorable but also powerful prophets of all time. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 16 is where we're going to be at today, if you want to follow along with me as we open God's Word. You guys ready to open God's Word this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's read. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. Verse 6. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us a thought that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and of what people are you?" Verse 9. And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And then he said to them, "Pick me up, hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. Just pause right there for a second. This is Jonah's God. This is the God of the Old Testament. This is Yahweh. This is the God of the Hebrews. They called out to Jonah's God. Let's go back. Verse 14. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. As we, no pun intended, as we dive into the story of Jonah, here's what I want you to see. God can bring a lot of good from a lot of bad. And let me say this again. God can bring a lot of good from a lot of bad. Let's pray, and then let's get started. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can come before you this morning, that we can meet with you, learn from your word. Lord, there's too many people that think the story of Jonah is just a kid's Sunday school lesson. But we know, Lord, that Jonah has many complex and compelling lessons that we as adults would do well to learn. So help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to learn from this story, to know you better through this story, and to follow your path more courageously, no matter how difficult or painful, no matter how rewarding or joyous. Father, help us to just want to follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So as we begin this new sermon series, this is a four-part sermon series. Every sermon in the sermon series is going to follow two major parts. We're going to first look at hard-headed, a section called hard-headed. And this is where we're going to take a look at what caused Jonah to make the decisions that he did. And through that, what about us would result in a hard head that's not open to the things of God? And then we'll turn and talk about how do we trade our hard head and trade it in for a tender heart. This is where we'll hopefully catch a vision that God has for our lives if we did trade in our hard head and received a tender heart. So let's get into it. Hard-headed. So some context. The story of Jonah is set roughly, give or take, around the year 780 BC. And as we read in the book of 2 Kings, Jonah was already known to be a prophet in Israel at this time. In world history, you should know that the world superpower that dominated the known world at this time was Assyria. And lo and behold, the capital of Assyria was Nineveh. Jonah, at some time in his ministry, he gets a call from God to bring a message to this pagan and oppressive city of Nineveh. But Jonah, as you see, wants nothing to do with this call. In fact, he tries to run far from it. Let's go back and read the first three verses again, because God's really trying to lay this out for us. Jonah 1:1-3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. For their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. How many times is the Lord going to make me say Tarshish? He's trying to get a point across that Jonah's not wanting to go to Nineveh. He's wanting to go to, I'm going to make you say it now, Tarshish. Y'all should be preachers. That was great. Going down to the ship to go to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So first thing I want you to see that Jonah's hard head leads him to do is this. Jonah says no while God is speaking. I know many of you can't stand that when your kids do that. Imagine a prophet of God saying no while God is speaking. Just to give you an idea of how hard of a no this is that Jonah gives to God, let's look at a map, because I know sometimes we see these cities and we see these names of towns and places and countries in scripture, and it's lost on us. So let me try and clear this up for us. So here we have the Mediterranean Sea. This is Turkey. This is North Africa. Turkey, where Pastor Andrew Brunson, who Ethan mentioned during the prayer, was just released from prison. And in case you didn't know this, Pastor Andrew Brunson, who's gotten a lot of press, a lot of time in the news recently. He's a pastor from our own denomination, which is kind of cool that we can say that. So Turkey, here we go. Here's Israel. This is where our setting is. Of course, we've got Italy. This is Greece here. Spain, you got the bottom part of France here. This is Sicily. This is the map. So we are right here in Israel. That's where Jonah is when he gets the call. Joppa was a port city right by Israel near Jerusalem. Here we have Nineveh over here, but then look where Tarshish is. Way over there. So God says, "Hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh." And Jonah says, "No, I'm going to go all the way across to the edge of the map to Tarshish." Roughly speaking, God called Jonah to make about a 500-mile trek from Jerusalem to Nineveh. But because Jonah does not want to go there, this is how hard of a no. Instead of going 500 miles towards Nineveh, he goes 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. For a little bit more context, that would be like if you got a call here in Grand Rapids and God said, I want you to go minister into New York City, roughly 500 miles. And you said, no. And then you turned around and you went to Juneau, Alaska. This is how far away Jonah wants to get from God's call. And we could sit back and we can think, oh, I can't believe Jonah, a known prophet of God, would actually say no to God after he's given explicit instructions. Church, we are the children of God. And how often do we say no to God's explicit instructions? We have the scriptures. We have the Bible. And if we want to hear God speak, we open up and we see what he says. And this is how we can see God speaking. This is how we can sit and meet with God and learn from him. And God has given explicit instructions that we say no to, black and white, crystal clear, no gray area instructions. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. How are we doing on that one? Love your neighbor as yourself. If I went to your neighbor's house, knocked on their door and said, hey, do they love you? What are they going to say? Listen to, again, to Jonah, verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. Jonah says no to God, but at least he has the decency to try to at least then get away from God. How many Christians say no to God then gather here on Sunday morning to worship him? Jonah says no to God, then turns his back on him. But how many Christians say no to God while still singing his praises? Peace Church, we can't be harsh with Jonah. We can't laugh or judge Jonah if we're not willing to really consider how much of Jonah we see in the mirror. Let's pick up again at verse 4, and we'll go down to verse 10. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and he had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what are you doing? What do you mean here? How could you be sleeping? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us a thought to us that we may not perish. Do something, Jonah. Verse 7, and they came to one another and they said, the sailors came to one another and said, let's cast lots and we can find out on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots and it fell on Jonah and they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What's your occupation again? What do you do? Who are you? Where are you from? What country are you from? And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, Yahweh, the God who made everything. And the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, what have you done? What have you done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. So the second thing I want you to see here is that Jonah sleeps while the ship is sinking. Jonah sleeps while the ship is sinking. Jonah and the crew, they find themselves in a literal life or death situation. They're making every last-ditch effort to save their ship and their very own souls. But the one person who can stop this is sleeping. And here's the reality. Jonah is selfish. He doesn't care what happens to Nineveh. He doesn't care what happens to the boat that he's on. He doesn't care what happens to the people on that boat. He doesn't care if he dies and others die with him. Jonah, listen here. Jonah has the message of salvation and he's keeping it to himself. Who in your life are you keeping the message of salvation from? If you are a Christian, then you know the gospel message. And there's someone in your life who needs to hear that. I know that you don't want to make it awkward. Right? You don't want to lose friendships. You don't want to lose Instagram followers by making it weird. But listen, if the people in your life don't know Christ, then they are on their last ship and it is sinking. Don't let them find you asleep when they realize their desperation. I ask you again, who in your life do you need to tell this message of salvation? Peace Church, I can't be more serious with you right now. We just came off a great series talking about the spiritual disciplines. I pray that you are taking those to heart and you are actually practicing those in your daily personal life, and that's great. Go in a closed door and practice prayer and fast and read scripture and do all the things that we just were teaching you about in this last sermon series. But now that you've done that, it's time to step outside the door. I would rather you get up right now and go to that person who you know needs the gospel. I'd rather you get up right now and go tell them the message of the gospel than to sit here, take notes, and not do it afterwards. You have my permission to up and leave. Well, the fact that nobody's doing that says there's going to be a lot of gospel preaching after church today. Hallelujah. Peace Church, the world is crying out for answers. And they're getting the wrong answers, or they're looking for the answers in dead ends. And you, like Jonah, have the message of salvation, so don't let the world find you sleeping. Let's pick up at verse 11, and we'll jump down to verse 16. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" What needs to happen? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, after they had to pry it out of him, then he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." Then they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. Powerful. Thirdly, I want you to see this. Jonah succumbs while the sailors are sacrificing. Jonah succumbs while the sailors are sacrificing here. I want to make sure that you really notice what's happening here. It's not that Jonah is some hero in the story. It's not like he's doing this valiant effort to trade his life so that others can live. He's more stoic than heroic here. Jonah knows that he's a dead man anyway. And he knows exactly why the sea is raging. Because that ship wasn't going anywhere with him on it. That ship was meant for Tarshish, but that prophet was meant for Nineveh, which means the two could no longer stay together. Instead of Jonah saying, "You know what, guys, I need to get back to Joppa. I've got a job to do," he basically says, "We're all dead anyway, so throw me to the fishes." But do you see what happens in the midst of the story? Do you see what happens through this? The sailors come to faith in God. Verses 15 and 16. So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. The sailors came to know the true and living God. This is something to celebrate. That is a cause for rejoice. But here's the connection. Jonah succumbs to the change that needs to happen so that others can come to believe in God. Jonah succumbs to the change that needs to happen so that others can come to believe in God. Jonah just succumbs to it. He's given up. It's just a job to get done. I'm dead anyway. Just throw me overboard. He just succumbs. How many Christians just succumb to the change that's needed and necessary for a church to become more effective at reaching the lost? Rather than celebrating this change, many Christians just give up. They just succumb to it. Feeling defeated that the old ways are gone, or feeling defeated that we're not making enough progressive change. They just, okay, this is the way it's gonna be. Instead of celebrating a church that's trying to be more proactive on reaching the lost, Jonah succumbs to the raging waters of the Mediterranean Sea. And as a result, the sailors are saved, both physically and spiritually. And they begin to honor, to submit to, and to glorify God. But Jonah's hard head leads him to just succumb. Just succumb to the change needed so that others can get saved. A tender heart would celebrate needed and necessary change if it meant others would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. A tender heart would celebrate the needed and necessary change, as long as it's a biblical change, if it meant others can get saved. Listen, Peace Church, not all the change that happens flows in the favor of my direction. But at least I'm not being thrown overboard. But if it means sailors would end up making vows to God, if it means my neighbors would come to Christ, I'm not just going to succumb to it. I'm going to celebrate that change. So let's talk about God turning hard heads into tender hearts. What lessons can we learn from just this start? We're not even through all the way of chapter 1. What lessons can we learn from the start of Jonah that can help us have the heart of God? Let me give you three of them as we close up today. First one is check your hands. What your hands are doing reveals where your heart is. Or as we say in Michigan, where your heart is at. If you have a bad attitude, if you're angry, it's a common saying to check your heart, right? Meaning, get your heart right. Don't let your heart get away from you. But do you know that your hands obey your heart? Listen to verse 2 and 3. God said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So he paid the fare. I encourage you to underline that in your Bibles. So he paid the fare. Think about that little exchange. One man buying a ticket from another man. Happens a million times a day for the last however many thousands of years. But this exchange is recorded. And this exchange we're talking about now, some 3,000 years later. With his hands, Jonah brought out his wallet. He opened it up. He paid the fare to take him away from the presence of the Lord. Peace Church, when you give money, when you spend it, when you hand it over, does it draw you closer to the presence of the Lord, or does it bring you farther away from the presence of the Lord? My friends, when you bring out and open up your phone, does it bring you closer to the presence of the Lord, or does it drive you farther away from the presence of the Lord? Your hands obey your heart. So check to see what your hands are doing, and you'll know what your heart is reflecting. Psalm 24 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Scripture is clear over and over. Your hands are obedient to your heart. If you want to know what makes your heart beat, then look at what your hands are holding. Some of you need to turn in the bottle for a Bible. Some of you need to trade in your social media account for some Christian accountability. Some of you know there's something in your life that you need to part ways with so that you can spend more time in prayer. Does the work of your hands reflect a willingness to submit to his call and his commands? Which leads us to our next point. Call and command. We can't expect to fulfill God's call if we don't follow God's commands. Seems a little redundant, right? Let's investigate. Jonah was never going to fulfill his call as a prophet if he wasn't going to be obedient in his command to go to Nineveh. Our Bible says, God said to Jonah, arise and go. But Jonah rose to flee. I'm going to ask you a hard question. Are you determined or are you a deserter? Are you determined or are you a deserter? People often tell me they want to do great things for God, but they won't obey the simplest commands of God. Don't let unwholesome things come out of your mouth. Pretty simple. Wives, respect your husbands. Don't speak poorly about them when they're not around. Give thanks always. Always have a heart of gratitude. No matter what's happening, are you thankful? Here's the simple one. Don't grumble. The truth is, we want the blessing to fulfill our godly call without the burden of being obedient to our godly commands. To put it another way, we want to be without having to do. If you want to be a great husband, then do the things that great husbands do. Are you determined or are you a deserter? Before I move on, we need to remember something crucial here. Salvation comes by grace through faith. Salvation comes by grace through faith. You cannot earn this. Your good efforts, and no matter how determined of a person you are, you will always fall short. If salvation is only through grace, salvation comes by grace through faith. But blessing comes by obedience through faith. You want obedience? Then follow God's. You want blessing? Then follow God's commands. Be obedient to God's call. Salvation comes by grace through faith, but blessing comes by obedience through faith. So as we close up today, one more. Into the ocean. Ask God for a faith that'll throw you into the sea. Let me explain. Jonah's situation left him with one choice, that he must be singled out and thrown into the sea. I'll say that again. Jonah's choices left him with one choice, that he must be singled out and thrown into the sea. See, I hope that you never find yourself in a situation where you are so disobedient to God that you must stare death in the face. But I do hope that you'll find a faith that will throw you into the sea if need be, a faith that is willing to be singled out for the sake of the gospel. A faith that causes you to give up your seat on the boat so that others can have a seat at the table, the Lord's table, as they enter into fellowship with him. We started this morning by saying that God can bring a lot of good from a lot of bad. And I hope that already in just the first 16 verses, you'll begin to see that. And as the series continue, that will unfold more and more. Sailors who started out heading for Tarshish ended up coming to the Lord. Jonah, who first said no to God, as you will see, becomes one of the most memorable and powerful prophets of all time. Jesus Christ himself will point back to Jonah. Maybe in your life right now, you're paying the boat fare, preparing to leave the presence of the Lord. Maybe you're in the middle of the storm, Maybe you've already been thrown overboard. No matter what horrible things you have faced, whatever bad choices you've done, God can bring a lot of good from a lot of bad. But it starts when you get back on that path to Nineveh. When you get back onto that path that God, that you first said no to God about. It starts when you get back on the path to Nineveh, back onto the path where God is calling you. I hope that you join us for the rest of this series so you can see how this drama plays out, because there's much more as we go deeper into this path and the story of Jonah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the story of Jonah. I pray that over the next number of weeks, you would soften our hard heads. You'd open our closed minds to the gospel truth, and that you'd transform our hearts of stone into tender hearts of flesh, that we may come to know you more fully, know you more truly, and to live a life to you that is more pleasing unto you. Father, I pray that we would not say no to you while you are speaking, that we would not sleep while the world sinks around us. I pray that we would have a faith, Father, that's willing to single us out and throw us into the ocean, if God, it is your will. God, you are so great. We thank you for the obedience and the blood of Jesus that pays for and washes away our sins. It's in his name that we pray these things. Amen and amen.